Coming up, it's a service that redefines your phone, headphones you can connect to your phone, and a way to disinfect your phone. You gotta watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Before You Buy is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting and invoicing solution designed to help small business owners save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/BYB. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Get $25 off the Ring Video Doorbell when you go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. Hey, and welcome to Before You Buy. It's Twit's product review show. It's where we give all the latest gadgets and gizmos that we get here into the Twit Brick House to the members of the Twit staff, the Twit army, the hosts, and the people who can tell you best whether you should buy, try, or not buy. Now, we're going to start off with a special one. You probably know this gentleman. He's been on a few of our shows. It's Leo Laporte.
Hi, how are you? Good to see you.
Now, what show do you do again?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
yeah. I used to do this show.
This one.
Yeah.
Now, you've got something that this is supposed to change the way we think about how our phones work. It's not a phone. It's Google Fi.
Right. It's not a phone. It's Fi.
What is Fi?
It's a project Google announced a few months ago, their own cell network. There's a thing you probably know about called an MVNO, a mobile virtual network operator. That's a company like Ting or Disney or Virgin that takes existing mainstream cell phone service and resells it. Ting and Virgin, for instance, resell Sprint. Fi is Google doing the same thing, but not with just Sprint, but with Sprint and T-Mobile, and they also do Wi-Fi calling. So the idea is they're a new kind of carrier. They also are month-to-month. There's no contract. You can quit at any time. You pay a base rate of $30 for your cell phone service, texting and phones, and then $10 per gigabyte, as many gigabytes as you think you're going to use. So if you don't use that, and by the way, you pay ahead of time with Fi. So, I'm sorry, it's $20 for the basics. I got five. I said, well, I'll probably use five gigabytes.
Right.
You pay, so I'm paying $70 for my first month. Now, at the end of that month, if I use fewer than 5 gigabytes of data, they'll rebate me the $10 a gigabyte difference. And they, by the way, they break it down to like the kilobyte. They really are fine in that. And if I buy more, I pay more up to, but never any more than $10 per gigabyte of data. They also have free tethering. Your tethering counts against your gigabytes of data. You still pay the $10 per gigabyte, but you don't pay any additional fee for tethering. So for most people, Project Fi will be cheaper than the service they use. If Sprint and T-Mobile are good for you, this might be a good solution. And because it uses Wi-Fi, by the way, T-Mobile has Wi-Fi calling on most of its phones. That's a nice feature because if you don't have good service in the house or at work, you still are using Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi calling works great. The phone hands it off seamlessly. So if I get in the car during a Wi-Fi call, it immediately transfers over to the best carrier, Sprint or T-Mobile, in that area. And the call continues without interruption. I've tried that. It does work. But there are others, like Republic Wireless, that offer exactly the same thing. So that's not unusual. It's really about the pricing and the price and the fact that it's T-Mobile offering this. I'm sorry, Google offering this. Now, the thing is, it's hard to get. It's a invite only. In fact, the only reason I have this is because Jeff Jarvis and I pleaded with Matt Cutts at Google. I said, please, Matt, can you get us in? He's on leave of absence, but I think he made some calls. Because right after I got back from vacation, I had a Fi invite in my inbox. Now, there's a couple of things you should keep in mind. It's in many respects like a normal carrier. You put the Fi application on your phone, and that's the application that will tell you how much data you've used. It allows you to do some additional things like call forwarding. You are offered by Google the choice when you first sign up for Fi to get a new number or to port your Google Voice number to that. Now, caveat, if you love Google Voice, don't. I love Google Voice, and you lose some of the features of Google Voice. The phones that I had Google Voice forwarding to continue to ring. You know, this I made this my Google Voice number. They continue to ring, but you don't have the control you used to have. With Google Voice, you can say in your address book, these people are family, these people are friends, I don't know these people, and they get different answering messages. You can have call screening, you know, press one to accept the call, and none of that seems to come over. So you're giving up a lot of the features that make Google Voice pretty special.
Yeah, it's not just that. I got my invite about a month ago, but I haven't accepted it because it told me I have to consolidate all my Google Voice numbers. And I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, I still have the other numbers. The other phones still ring. But, yeah, it's not the same.
And it's not.
Now, I've been told that if you decide to give up the number, you cancel your Fi service, it will revert to Google Voice.
Okay.
But right now, when I go to voice.google.com, it says redirecting you to the Project Fi page. So you got an invite to Project Fi.
I got an invite. I don't have a Nexus, so I can't really
activate
it properly.
Well, that's the other negative, is you have to have a Nexus 6, Google's latest Google phone. And the Nexus 6 is not something everybody will want. As you can see, it's ginormous. It's a 6-inch phone. It's pretty credible. Runs the latest, of course, the latest Android 5.1.1. Battery life is pretty pathetic, maybe like 8 or 9 hours. You're a OnePlus One user. That would be half what you're
getting. That's all I get all day.
Yeah. So, on the other hand, it's a nice screen. It's a big screen. It's high resolution. The camera's pretty good. You know, it's not a bad phone, but you have to either buy one, and they will amortize that over many months, or if, as I did, already have a Nexus 6, you can use your existing Nexus 6. So, any other questions you have as a potential Fi customer?
I mean, people have been longing for this for the longest time. They want Google to come in and disrupt the telcos, the carriers. Now, have you noticed that since they've got Sprint and T-Mobile and Wi-Fi, that it's pretty much cleared up the dead spot areas that I have with the number 3 and number 4 carriers?
I haven't ever had problems with T-Mobile here
really?
In Petaluma, so that's not been something I've observed. But you don't even know what you're on, by the way. You're always on Project Fi.
It really is seamless.
And it is seamless, and it goes right into the Wi-Fi when I get home or here I'm at work. Wi-Fi calling is excellent. You can't tell you're using Wi-Fi calling. It might be a concern if you had poor bandwidth on your Wi-Fi, you know? Mm-hmm. If you didn't have a fast connection or you had an unreliable connection, Wi-Fi calling might not be ideal. I'm not sure how the handoff would work in a situation like that. But, it's not going to save you a huge amount of money. This isn't like, say, Google's gigabit fiber project where you're just getting amazing stuff for very little money. This is really kind of maybe a little bit less expensive, a little bit less of a commitment. It's interesting. I'm not really sure why Google's doing this since it's not as disruptive as they had mentioned. And as long as you have to have a Nexus 6, it's going to be very limited in its appeal.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've got a OnePlus One, and I'm using T-Mobile's $30 a month service. And it's prepaid.
Exactly.
It's 30 flat, and I get 5 gigs of data, and I get 100 minutes,
right,
which is more than I need for voice.
We're talking, yeah.
So I'm not going to save a lot of money. So who would this be for? I mean, who...
It's mostly for early adopters who want to be in the Google camp, I think. Now, okay, maybe I can sway you with this. You do get a Fi welcome kit, which includes, my friend, some really cheesy, not very good headphones that have a splitter built in.
Oh, no, I'm sold. There.
Okay.
Headphones.
It includes a fairly low milliamp hour external battery. I think it's 6,000 milliamp hours. I mean, I have that you know, it's the size of the phone. I have in that size, I have 10, 20,000. That seems a little low. You also get this highly attractive Google Fi white case with candy-colored buttons, which I took off immediately. But you get you get that for free. You don't pay anything for the kit. And one more thing. You know how T-Mobile is great overseas because
you get
20 cents a minute calls in many countries. You get free international texting and free slow international data. You will still get that with Google Fi. So apparently they've got the international deal that T-Mobile offers. They see 256 kilobit in a data service when you travel. And you should check which countries. It's not every country. But when we were in Europe, I was using T-Mobile, and it worked pretty well in Austria, Germany, the Netherlands, Hungary was just fine. So, I mean, this is it's an interesting idea.
Break it down. Give me the pros and the cons.
Okay, the pros and the cons. The pro, you're in with the cool kids because you have a phone that says Google Project Fi on it.
Save the case.
You're very hip. You got an invitation. You must be one of the special people. It also, in some cases, will save you money. It's certainly more flexible. I'm sorry, I'm not talking to you, Google. You can shut up. It's certainly more flexible because you're using Sprint, T-Mobile, or Wi-Fi, whichever's best wherever you are. So coverage problems are probably less of an issue unless you go to one of those places that doesn't have Sprint, T-Mobile, or Wi-Fi. But that could happen to anybody, right? I like the idea that it's transparent. You know exactly how much data you use. You only pay for the data you used. It's month to month. You can cancel at any time. So those are all pros. The cons, though, are significant. You have to use a Nexus 6. You, if you're a Google Voice lover, don't give up your Google Voice number because you'll lose Google Voice, a lot of the Google Voice capabilities. I think that's fairly significant. That's about it on the cons. I would say if you can get an first thing, do go to Google's Project Fi page, fi.google.com, and get an invite. You don't have to decide now. You got to get an invite.
Yeah, my invite's still active. It's been sitting in my inbox.
I can't believe you got one. How did you get one? Did you beg?
The person who promised me a Google I.O. ticket.
Felt bad.
He felt bad.
So he gave you an invite. Yeah. But you don't have an Nexus 6.
I don't.
So far, and we've been, this is very anecdotal. I've been asking the chat room. I'm the first person who actually owns a Nexus 6 that has an Fi invite. All of the invites so far seem to go out to people who don't have a Nexus 6.
Now, that, it's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy
makes
to sell
you buy
Nexus
6s.
I don't know. I have to say, I don't want to say do not buy because I think it's a good thing. If you can get over the hump of having to use a Nexus 6 and losing perhaps your Google Voice capabilities, I think Fi is a good service. I love the idea, and it's been great that I can use Wi-Fi, Sprint, and T-Mobile wherever I go. It'll be great for international travel. You pay as you go. There's no commitments. So in that respect, I'm going to say it's a buy. It's a good deal. It's certainly something you should consider if you have the option in your overall, you know, sell research. And I like the idea of dealing with Google. It's all programmatic. I don't have to worry. And by the way, I've checked, and call times are very short because nobody has it. It's like a minute to get through to the service people. So I'm going to say it's a buy. I think they've
really
done a good job with this.
Who doesn't want to stick it to AT&T and Verizon?
Exactly.
So, yes.
Exactly.
Yes, let's do this.
Let's say goodbye and say hello to Fi.
Well, there you have it. Google Fi. If you are one of the lucky few to have a Nexus, if you are one of the lucky few to have gotten your invite, it's an absolute bye.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to find Leo Laporte on just a couple of shows here on the Twit TV network. Yeah. You do, not shows, but you do, like, what, 15 hours?
I do 10 shows. Yeah, it's maybe more like the
No, it's closer
20
to 20
or 25 hours.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Saturday, the new Screensavers.
Oh, that's right.
You've been on it.
Yes.
It's a great show. Everybody should tune in for that. We've got a really good one for you.
You've
tomorrow.
Got an incredible guest.
Jeremy Cowart, who is one of the great photographers of all time. It's going to be a lot
of fun.
If
you've ever wanted to take professional portrait photography, this is the man you need to listen to.
And a seismologist who will explain why you don't want to live in Seattle anymore.
But Fremont, it's a Hayward Fault. My family home's in Fremont.
No,
it's
big
fall
deal.
In the ocean.
No big deal.
Folks, of course, you're going to find Leo Laporte all around the Twit TV network. He'll be telling you tidbits about Google Fi, probably on This Week in Google, probably on Tech Guy, most definitely tomorrow on the new Screensavers. But, you know, we're going to be moving on just a bit. But before we do that, Leo, have you ever heard of this company called FreshBooks?
I love FreshBooks.
I got to tell you, this, as an entrepreneur from way back in the day before I became a priest, FreshBooks is something I wish was around. Because I hated doing my own
Saved my life.
Invoicing is a nightmare. Yeah. I worked it out. I probably let go of over $100,000 of billing because I forgot to bill or I billed at the wrong time.
You and I are in the same boat. FreshBooks, in fact, I found out about FreshBooks 10 years ago, and it changed my life.
It did. Now, FreshBooks is designed specifically for those who run small businesses, people who don't have an accounting staff, people who need to be able to put out their invoices in a timely fashion, make sure that their bills get paid, and make sure that everything ends up in the right column so that at the end of the year, you know where you stand. Well, you could hire someone to do it for you. You could create a complicated spreadsheet that you hope to heaven you haven't made a mistake that will land you in some sort of IRS audit. Or you could just go with FreshBooks. Now, I haven't been able to use FreshBooks because I don't run my business anymore. But looking at the features, oh my goodness, sending invoices, capturing expenses, tracking time, knowing my profits and my losses, my tax summaries, that's the sort of information that would have empowered me as a small business user. And now you can take advantage of that by going to freshbooks.com/BYB. It's an invoicing solution that makes it simple for freelancers to create and send your invoices to make sure that you get paid on time. And during your free trial, you can test it out to find out why over 5 million people have used FreshBooks to keep their small businesses running smoothly. It's very easy to use. If you can open up Microsoft Excel, you can use FreshBooks. And they make it easy for you to understand what's going on. This is not the arcane magic of numbers. This is just you doing what you do best and letting FreshBooks take care of the rest. It's designed especially for people like you, people who prefer to focus on their work. And help at FreshBooks is free forever, which means that when you have that issue, when you have that thing that won't work right, you're going to get a real person to talk to. It's not going to be some sort of endless array of robocalls and help pages. You're going to get a person who tells you, yeah, it's okay. Let me show you exactly how that works and go about your business. Now, getting started is simple, and it's totally free for 30 days. I don't understand why you wouldn't at least try it. You get no obligation. Just go to FreshBooks.com/BYB. That's FreshBooks.com/BYB. And don't forget to enter before you buy in the How Did You Hear About Us section to throw some love back to the Twit TV network. Start your 30-day free trial today. And we thank FreshBooks for their support of Before You Buy. Well, folks, every once in a while, we like to venture out of the Twit Brick House and take a look at some of the events that are happening around the city, around the state, around the country, around the world. Well, we had a chance to wander over to San Francisco to Mobile Focus 2015, and we took a look at a fancy watch. We've seen a lot of smartwatches, but we've got a little something-something here at the Huawei table that you might need to take a first look at. I'm standing next to Jack Borick, who's going to explain why this watch is not a watch. Jack, what is this?
This is actually our fitness band. It's the TalkBand B2, and it has all of your basic fitness functions on it. Let me turn it on so you can see. So once it connects to your smartphone, you're going to have all the basic information on the screen. So first of all, it's a touch screen. You have your basic pedometer, calories burned, and your sleep timer. And then a very unique feature is that once you get a phone call coming through, you push these little buttons on the side, and it turns itself into a very high-end Bluetooth headset. So you have, it's a dual microphone, great sound quality on that. And then the great part is that when you're done, you snap it back in so you don't lose your Bluetooth. A couple other features that this has, you can actually snap a picture by Bluetooth. So it has... You can take a selfie of yourself by tapping the screen. It also has a phone finder, so if you lose your phone, it'll alert you on your wrist. So it's compatible with the Jawbone Up app, which is what a lot of people are familiar with. So you get all of your information sent over to that app. And it's also waterproof. Let me just take it off so you can take a look at it. Or it's water-resistant, I should say. But this is our leather band version of it with the gold, and it comes in a black sport version with a rubber band on it also.
And if they want to find out more about this or any of the products that Huawei offers, where do they go?
For the U.S. products, you can go to gethuawei.com. That's where you can purchase all of our devices. To look at some of these and our other products that we sell, you can go to huaweidevice.com and look at our worldwide portfolio of products.
Thank you, Jack. And how about that? A smartwatch that might actually do something useful. I'm Father Robert Ballister, and that's been your first look.
I got to say, Huawei has been coming out with some very interesting products as of late. For everything from huge, huge phones to interesting, novel approaches to a smartwatch. Now, the next review is not a smartwatch. In fact, you may see me sporting these quite stylish Sennheiser Urbanite XL wireless headphones. It's for people who, they want a wireless device, but they don't want to compromise on sound or comfort. We actually had a fight here in the studio as to who would be able to review these because they are really nice. So we decided to give it to the one person who could do them justice. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the Carly.
Hi, I'm Carly Perkins with Twit TV, and today I'm reviewing the Sennheiser Urbanite XL wireless headphones. These headphones come with a standard 3.5mm audio cable that contains a remote control and microphone, a micro USB charging cable, and a carrying case. The headphones take 3 hours for a full charge, and a full battery lasts up to 25 hours. An LED light on the right ear cup will turn red when the headphones are charging, and will turn blue when they are fully charged. A battery meter also appears on your smart device, letting you know how much battery life remains. Aluminum sliders allow you to resize the ear cups as needed. Steel fixtures make these headphones durable, but padding underneath the headband and on the over ear cups also give you the right amount of cushion and comfort for long hours spent gaming or listening to your favorite tunes. Bluetooth 4.0 and aptX codec allows for a seamless connection to Bluetooth aptX-enabled devices. To enable Bluetooth, move the switch which is found on the bottom of the right ear cup to the right. A blue LED light will then blink 3 times, and a voice will say connected, indicating that the headphones are paired with your device. Their touch control technology, which is also managed on the right side of the headphones, makes it easy to adjust the volume of your music, play, pause, skip ahead and backwards, and connect to devices with NFC capability. For pairing, activate NFC on your device and hold it up to the left side of your headphones. To adjust volume, slide your finger up or down. To pause, tap once. To skip ahead, double tap. And to go backwards, tap three times. You can also fast forward a song by holding your finger down on it for 2 seconds. And to rewind, you can hold your finger down for 3 seconds. Overall, I felt that the touch control feature was pretty easy to use. There's a slight delay between the tapping motion and the intended action, which can make it frustrating at times because it makes it difficult to ensure if the tap worked correctly right away. When I began using the headphones, I initially felt that the sound came through pretty clear and strong. Over time and in testing out various music genres, I soon found that the bass wasn't as strong as it could be. The treble is clean and the vocals sound sharp. Although the bass isn't very powerful, I did find that it was sufficient. However, if you're all about that bass, then these headphones may not be for you. The collapsible aspect of the headphones definitely caters to people who are on the go. I can easily fit them into their carrying case and toss them in my purse. As is typical of Bluetooth range, the headphones experience interference at about 30 feet, at which point the connection becomes lost and takes a minute to regain connection by going back to where your device is. One of the pros has to be the convenient wireless connection. I'm a poet and often enjoy listening to music while I'm writing poetry, so it's nice to put the headphones on and to be able to write without worrying about wires getting in the way. The headphones are comfortable. Some headphones can jab my ears, and I actually enjoy the feel of the Urbanite XL over-ear cups. Though the touch control isn't perfect, it is a nice feature of the headphones, and I enjoy that aspect of the listening experience. If given the option between touch control and traditional buttons, I think I would opt for touch control. A con is the interference that occurs at around 30 feet away from the device it's connected to, although that is typical of Bluetooth connection. With a list price of $299, the Urbanite XL wireless headphones are pretty expensive, especially considering the bass quality isn't anything to call home about. Ultimately, the pros outweigh the cons, and I give the Sennheiser Urbanite XL wireless headphones a buy. I'm Carly Perkins. Thank you for watching my review of the Sennheiser Urbanite XL wireless headphones.
There you have it. It's a buy for the Sennheiser Urbanite XL wireless headphones. These things are expensive, you know, almost $300, but I agree with Carly. These just feel good. Everything from this sort of soft silicone gasket material to the nice linen to just the really comfortable ear cuffs. In fact, I would put this up with my favorite wired headset, which is the Audio-Technica M50s. We'll see. Maybe we'll have to put them on a side-by-side shootout. Of course, Carly Perkins has been here at Twit TV forever. She is now a full-time staff member. We hope to hear from her much more on Before You Buy. Now, when we come back, we've got a review of the LG Urbane. If you've been looking at yet another smartwatch, one that might fit your personality and your style a bit more than some of the others out there, then you're going to want to listen to Miriam Jouar because she's got everything you need to know about the latest and the greatest from LG. But before we do that, let's take another break to thank the second sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy. And it's a sponsor that I actually hold near and dear to my heart because I actually bought one of these units before they were a sponsor of Twit. And of course, it's the Ring Video Doorbell. Now, this is what it is. This little kit right here contains everything you need to turn your house into basically call waiting for people showing up at your front door. It's got the doorbell unit. It's got the drill bits. It's got the level. It's got the screws. All the tools that you need to install it. Now, this is one of the things I actually really like. In the back here is this little USB port. You could charge this with a USB cable from your computer or charger, and it will work for a year without needing recharging. Or you could tie it into the house power via the doorbell line and never have to worry about charging it again. Now, that's installation. The question is, well, okay, Padre, what does it do? Well, this is what it does. This is the Ring application. Now, this is on my OnePlus One. I had this installed at my parents' home because I was a little bit worried about people scoping out their houses. I didn't want people finding out whether or not they were home. I didn't want people knocking on the door to find out the times that they say they went up to the club. So this will tell me anytime someone approaches the door. These little blue people, that's motion. Motion in the front yard. The red ones, that's people who have actually rung the bell and not been answered. If they do ring, any of these devices, my phone, my parents' phone, their tablets, can actually answer it. They can see who's out there and they can speak to them. Or I could find out who came to the door and at what time. Now, one of the cool things about this is I can download these little videos to my phone. So, for example, if I see someone scoping out the house I feel a little suspicious. I don't feel right about it. I can make sure I have a permanent copy of that video, so in case anything actually does happen, at least I have something I can point to. Now, I got to say, this is not just a doorbell. This is not just a technological solution for people who want to be able to answer their door from their tablets, from their phones, from their mobile devices. This is peace of mind. This is the Ring Video Doorbell. Oh, they've got a special offer for Before You Buy viewers. Because they love Twit, because they really want you to try one of these, because they want you to figure out what Ring can do for you trying to answer the door for your packages or finding out whether or not you're being cased, they're going to give you $25 off. That's right. Just go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. Ring.com/beforeyoubuy and try out what Time Magazine named one of the top 10 gadgets for 2014. Protect your home. Have a peace of mind. Get yourself a Ring. And we thank Ring for their support of Before You Buy. With me now is, really a person who needs no introduction on Before You Buy because she's been here pretty much every single week. It's Miriam Jawar. Miriam, thank you very much for talking to us again.
Padre, lovely to see you.
You've got some magic in a smartwatch.
Yeah, so I have been playing for about a month or two now with the LG Watch Urbane, which is basically the successor to the G Watch R, which was the second watch after the G Watch, which was a square watch. And it's right here, and you've already actually seen it on the show. Leo did a very brief comparison of the Apple Watch versus the Watch Urbane when it came out. He has the gold one with the brown leather, which is an option. I have the silver with the black leather. I honestly did not have a choice, so it just came that way.
Now, I know this is going to sound haterish, but if I were to put this next to an Apple Watch, I would think that this is so much more stylish. This is something I might actually want to wear, but I don't wear watches.
So I want to talk about that a little bit. What I love about this watch is that it, at first sight, like this, first of all, you notice the screen is always on. It's a little dim, but it's always on. That's the setting I have it in. And the reason for that is because there is a setting to actually leave the time on all the time, which I think is the biggest problem with the Apple Watch.
Right.
I love the Apple Watch. But I find that, and this, like Pebble, keeps the time on all the time. And so as soon as you do the flick of the wrist thing, it wakes up and you can actually see the second hand now. And you see the second hand is very analog. It's not tick, tick, tick.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I love. And if you observe it very quickly, I'm just going to shake it again. But if you observe, there is a parallax thing going on. I'm not sure if we can see it. But here, I'll show it to you. There's a parallax thing.
Oh, yeah,
where,
yeah, okay.
Where the, you can't really see it very well here. Let me see if I can.
It's not going to show on the cameras.
But it moves the reflection on the watch face. It's a fake reflection with the angle.
It gives it a feel of physicality.
And so let me change it to a bit more of a... And the reason I had this face up was because I wanted to show you this parallax, and it doesn't come through very well. But let me pick a watch face that I feel really works for this watch.
How many watch faces can I choose from?
Well, you know, this is the same. It's standard Android.
Standard
wear,
Android.
So whatever,
okay.
Whatever the choices are.
I can make my own,
exactly.
Or I can choose something that they got.
Let me see. The one I like the best is around here somewhere. There it is. This one here. So this, I think, gives it real justice. Look at the level of detail here. I don't know if you can see.
Looks like an aviator.
It's going to fade soon, but there's shadow below each hand. Of course, when it fades to low power mode, watch, it kind of looks faint. You can't see it anymore. But if I do this again, look at, like, you can see the shadow under, and...
That's a beautiful screen. What kind of resolution?
So this is a 320 by 320, 1.3-inch plastic OLED display.
Plastic OLED.
It's the same display that was in the Watch R.
Okay.
So there's no flat tire like on the Moto 360, mm-hmm. but also means you have a bit of a bigger bezel. So speaking of aesthetics, I think for people with large wrists, this is a good fit, right?
Yeah, I can't see doing that in a slender model.
I have pretty large wrists, and it still looks big on me, right? See? So I think for me it's great. And you notice how it looks like a watch from a distance. You have no idea I'm wearing a smartwatch. This is what I like about this watch. If you have big wrists and you're okay with a larger watch, it's 1 centimeter thick. It's pretty big. It's about the same size as the Moto 360 around. If you're comfortable with that, I think it's probably the most stylish smartwatch on the market out there today.
Although, okay,
let me be fair here, though,
because style is really a subjective thing.
For sure.
Some people just, they want thin. Thin is in, thin. Anything that you can do thin is great. I personally don't like that. I would never wear a watch that felt like I wasn't wearing a watch. I actually want it to feel like a watch.
Yeah.
That's what I like. Right. I love the round look.
I think the round look is what I really love the most. And nobody else right now but Android Wear has a round face. And you know, I mean, you have a couple of choices now. You have, well, three technically. You have this one, the G Watch R, the previous model, which is kind of a black finish. And you have the Moto 360. And the Moto 360, arguably, is missing a bit of a screen with that little flat tire. And hopefully they'll remedy this on the new Moto 360 that's coming out soon. But what I love about this is that, you know, if you can live with a big watch, this, I think, is the most traditional looking of all the smartwatches and gets away with just looking like a watch most of the time. Now, you notice I'm not talking about functionality very much.
Yeah, let's run through the functionality.
It's Android Wear. Okay. I mean, it's the latest version of Android Wear, so it's got some new features. For example, it'll connect over Wi-Fi. So if you leave your phone on another floor of the house where the Bluetooth connection is disconnected and you get a notification on the phone, and both on the same Wi-Fi network, you get a notification on the watch.
Nice. Okay.
They don't actually even have to be on the same Wi-Fi network because your phone has an internet connection at all times.
It is fine.
So basically, if you left it in the car, your phone, you'll still get your notification on your watch, even though your watch is on Wi-Fi in your house.
So notifications, contacts.
Right. And it inherits all the Wi-Fi settings from your phone automatically. You don't have to do anything.
Nice.
So that's really, really nice.
Right.
But that's an Android Wear latest build of Android Wear feature. There's like you can do this on a Moto 360 now as well. So it's not really a new feature.
So that's not a distinguishing thing.
No.
The distinguishing thing for you is the style.
And I'm not a huge fan of skeuomorphism, but in this case, I really think that it works on this watch, this kind of fake realness, right? And the other thing I really love is the round display, and the battery life is another thing I really great. It's really great. So it's a 410 milliamp hour battery, which doesn't seem like much, but this easily goes 2 days for me with the always on display.
Whoa! Even with the Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi doesn't kick in unless it absolutely has to. So if it only when it loses the Bluetooth connection does it have the Wi-Fi
turn
on.
So that's an actual smart.
So the power management turns off the Wi-Fi radio, and then when it goes in a place where it has no Bluetooth connection anymore, it starts up the Wi-Fi. And when the battery gets low, it turns off the Wi-Fi. It actually tells you, I'm turning off the Wi-Fi now. So you never have to manage this at all in any way, shape, or form. The other thing I wanted to point out is that unlike the Moto 360, which uses Qi wireless charging, this uses a standard little cradle with micro USB. So all you have to do is carry a little cradle that's about the diameter of the watch. It's magnetic and it's standard USB cable and you can charge it anywhere. I think it's a little more convenient than having to carry Motorola's a little Qi thing. And you can see there's a heart rate monitor, pretty much standard issue on most Android Wear watches today. And this crown here doesn't actually rotate, but you can push on it. So if you hold it down, you get to all your settings and all that stuff. And all your apps and all that
again,
stuff.
That's just Android
Standard
Wear,
so. Android Wear stuff.
All right, so, break it down for me. Give me the pros and the cons. Your top three and three.
Let's talk about the price before real quick. So $350 is the list price on Google Play Store, but you can often find it for $300. I think Amazon
right now
has for $300. So it's very competitive in the sense that it, you know, matches the entry level Android Apple Watch. And I think honestly, it's more like the stainless steel Apple Watch in terms of the build, right? Like it's because it is a stainless steel watch, so doesn't have sapphire glass, though.
I don't know. I'll take the style over the buzzword
again,
materials.
The square versus round is a huge distinguishing feature. Right. So let's go through the pros and cons. What I love about it is personally, it's a make it or break it for some people, but I love the design, and you love it too. Mm-hmm. Some people might not. The only caveat is that it is big, and you need big wrists. And then it's maybe
small ankles,
and it's a little bit thick, right? 1 centimeter thick or so, 10 millimeters. So I love the design. Battery life is great. And I want to say, I think the round screen should be its own pro because
it really is.
I think it's the future of smartwatches. Round screens. I really hope Apple does a round screen sometime soon. And then the cons are, you know, it again, the design in a way, because for some people it's going to be a really clunky watch, and you're going to eliminate it automatically because there's really very few Android Wear watches that are designed for small wrists. Mm-hmm. Apple at least has the small watch, and Pebble, you know, is a little smaller now. But that's so it's kind of the design is both the pro and con. I think it really depends who you talk to, and I think there are going to be a lot of people who are going to find this too chunky.
It's taste.
Other drawback is that you know it doesn't really add more to the experience than the user. The features, to me, it's all about notifications, having a smartwatch. But this doesn't really add anything unique other than maybe these watch faces that LG shipped with it. So It's just Android Wear, yet another Android Wear device. It doesn't really add something other than the hardware being differentiating. And then the price, you know, I mean, I think
$300, it's a premium watch.
It's actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's the absolute buy. I personally think that right now, if you want to buy the best smartwatch on the market, it's really pick your ecosystem. iOS, you're going to get an Apple Watch.
That's
and Android Wear, I honestly think this is it.
There you have it. The best watch in the Android ecosystem. If you are hooked on Android Wear and the Android ecosystem, that's the watch you need to be wearing.
Boom.
Miriam Jouar, you're going to find her all over the TwitTV network, of course, on All About Android. And you've actually got an interesting event coming up.
Yeah, so I'll be attending the OnePlus 2 event on Monday, covering it for a couple of blogs. And I will be talking about the OnePlus 2. I don't think I'll have a unit. I believe they're not giving out review units right away to the media.
You can just take one.
Well, I'll try.
just grab it.
But I'll be on All About Android with Jason and Ron this week on Tuesday. So look for me there.
You'll be able to give me the update on my beloved OnePlus
Correct.
One.
And you know, honestly, I'll say to you, I'm very excited because I love the OnePlus One. To me, what will make it or break it personally is the OIS or not OIS on the
I have been looking for optical image stabilization for a while.
So far, we think it's coming.
I hope so.
So if it is, we're in business. Yeah. But if it's not coming, man, what a miss.
Of course, when you're not on the TwitTV network, the best place to find you is on your Twitter account.
Yeah,
which is
Twitter account.
Tankgirl.
Tankgirl.
Remove all the vowels.
You got it. Just drop the vowels from Tankgirl, TNKGRL. And at that is Twitter. And my blog is at tankgirl.com. I've got some reviews there and podcasts as well. Check it out. And yeah, I'll see you Tuesday. And then I'm hoping to get that ZT Axon as well at some time pretty soon. So that's another unlocked kind of high-end phone that's bespoke for the U.S. market that I'm looking forward to.
Miriam Jouar, our phone and mobile gadget guru, thank you very much for coming
You're
back on
welcome,
the Before You Buy.
Take care.
Will we see you next week, or are you going to be doing some crazy stuff?
I think next week you'll see me pre-recorded.
Okay.
With a really cool but very expensive product. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Cool
You'll
and
see.
Expensive. We kind of like that combination.
Right.
We really do.
But I'll probably be back the week after that.
Thank you very much. Thanks. I'll make sure that you follow her on Twitter if you want to find out more about the Urbane. But I want to switch gears a little bit because you've probably seen this. We're doing an experiment right now where we're actually doing cultures of the devices we use.
Oh, I saw that.
Let's see. I've got some right here. These are the ones that we've been doing for Before You Buy. I'm not going to show you the really gross ones, but we did some swabs of smartphones. This is only a day old, so you're only now starting to see. You probably can't even see it on camera. The faintest glimmer of the start of bacterial growth. And by the time we get to the next episode of Before You Buy, some of this is going to be truly, truly disgusting. We decided to take a first look at a product that says that they could solve for that. And that's what this is testing for.
I was going to say, you're starting the zombie apocalypse right now, aren't
Well, at
you?
Least the phone zombie apocalypse. This is the phone soap. Now, this is a little case that it comes with a charging port, so you can charge your phone. But the big selling unit, you may have noticed it's got some lamps, is you put your phone in here and you close it. And it will start up a UV light bath. Now, it's timed. It's not going to stay on the whole time.
It fits your OnePlus One.
It fits my OnePlus One. Exactly. I know.
Is it designed by One?
No. But it's, you know, it's designed for about 6-inch phones and below. But, yeah, it fits this OnePlus One perfectly. We decided to put it to the test because, I've heard about a lot of antibacterial stuff that's kind of bunk. This is the swabbing that we did around the studio. So we tested a bunch of services. You know, I've heard that keyboards are disgusting. So we swabbed a bunch of keyboards just to find out whether or not that will lead us to some bacterial destruction. The table, the kitchen table, that thing I'm pretty sure has Ebola. So we'll find out.
Oh, the TriCaster.
The TriCaster, of course, the TriCaster is going to be pretty bad. This, I think, is going to get a lot. The handle in the sink, I don't think it's cleaned a lot. I'm betting there's going to be a lot of bacteria. And, of course, we had to go into Leo's office. We did swabs of his keyboard. Although he cheated, he told me that he had just wiped down his keyboard with some bleach wipes. So I don't know how much I'm going to get out of there. And of course, we also had to do the human element. So I got a couple of the co-workers around the brick house.
I hope
to,
that's not all the same swab.
No. Well, I mean, that would invalidate the test results.
It's just, you know, right now it's like swab. Only
and,
swab
well, this
cam.
Is the big one. This one's actually, this one's pretty disgusting. This one's already growing a lot. So obviously.
Yeah, thanks, Padre.
There's
yeah.
a bunch of stuff growing in Cranky Hippo's ear. So, yeah. But.
That's why he's a cranky hippo.
That's why. We're actually going to be able to show people whether or not this works. So we swapped it ran it through the full cycle, and then swabbed it again. So by next Thursday, we should see if this is actually working. A notable difference in the amount of bacteria that is growing on the pre-bathed versus post-bathed phone.
Wow, this is cool.
We're like all scientists.
You're like totally scientific.
We're like totally.
Except for the zombie apocalypse which is starting right here, right in front of me. I'll be like patient two.
Very uncommon for Twit. We're following the scientific method.
It's going to be interesting.
Although there may be an issue. I created a hot box so that this would grow properly, and I think I may have messed up the thermostat because it got really hot. I think it may have killed the bacteria, but we'll see.
Well, you can do it again.
We can do it again. I am interested in this. This is a $65 device. If it actually works, there's still a big doubt in my mind whether or not this is better than just wiping it down with a bleach wipe or, you know, rubbing
well,
it on your shirt.
Well, you could make that part
while.
Of the experiment.
Oh, we probably will. Just to be fair,
make it a long-term experiment. Give your results in a month or two.
And I could bathe multiple things.
Correct.
I could bathe your Urbane
smartwatch. Yeah, that's probably pretty nasty.
So you look for this in a couple of weeks. We're going to be giving you a full report, including all of the results from our Petri dishes to tell you whether or not it did kill off the bacteria that's trying to kill you and create the next zombie apocalypse. That's the phone soap. $65. Look for it in the show notes for Before You Buy. Well, I think that's it.
That's it? Are we done?
I think we're done.
We're done?
We had a lot of stuff. We had some headphones.
Oh, yeah. We started with Leo. That's a lot.
Some Fi. Had some, you know, zombie apocalypse.
This is sound. I think we all know ultraviolet will kill bacteria. Let's see if it's more effective, as you said, than wiping it down.
I am, because Brian is my TD, I have to show you the swab of his ear.
No, you don't have to.
We're only a day in, and it shouldn't be growing anything, but look at that.
Okay. You don't have to.
Yeah, you can clearly see that.
Yeah, that's no joke. I mean, seriously, that's one day of growth.
But you swabbed the TriCaster and then stuck it in my ear, didn't you?
No, that was a different swab.
Yeah, that's so gross.
And yes, we do have a control Petri dish. We did the experiment the right way. And the control Petri dish is still clear. Mm. So far, our results, oh, man, I don't know what that is, but I don't think I want it.
It's going to be my child.
Oh, folks, we want to thank you for joining us for this episode of Before You Buy. Thanks to all of our presenters, of course, to Miriam Jouard, to Leo Laporte, to Carly Perkins, and who else helped us out here? There was me. Right?
It was you.
And there was me. Yeah, how about that? Now, we do the show with the help of a lot of people. That, of course, includes Lisa and Leo. Thank you very much for trusting me with the show. And my super producer, Karsten Bondi, who makes sure that we have products. And, of course, the TD. Brian, where can people find you when you're not, growing bacteria?
Some of the lights are out right now, so it's... I don't even know why I'm bothering with those lights. But they can find me doing Jason just passed me some sanitizer to put in my ears,
Ew.
I think.
Yeah, put the
They're
whole
feeling
box.
A little itchy. Ew. I don't know what's going on.
Gross.
if people want to figure out where the rest of that experiment stuff is going to happen, they should watch us on Know How next Thursday and see what comes of those little Petri dishes on there. And you can also follow me at @cranky_hippo if you want to find out if I survived the experiment.
The zombie apocalypse. I'm Father Robert Ballas here preparing you for the next zombie apocalypse. And remember, you got to watch before you buy.